I would like to welcome all of you to our third call of the fiscal year and the introduction to Epilepsy Audio Call Series. My name is Sean Gamble, and I am with the Employee Education Services here in St. Louis, and I'm the project manager for this series. Our lines are muted. If for some reason they're not, go ahead and hit mute at this time, and they will be opened up at the end of the presentation when we're ready for questions. Please be sure to complete the evaluation to get credit for this program. Complete directions for your evaluations are found in the brochure on the catalog. Deadline date to complete the evaluation is March 23rd. Now let me welcome our guest speaker for today, Jimmy Famineau. It's all yours, Jimmy. Are you on, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. On the back of the blue button, right? Turn the thing off.
Can you please hit your mute button, who's ever got their phone active?
Patients with epilepsy, but it does have some risks. was a recent study by Dobetberger et al. That analyzed the rate of adverse events during VEM. The study evaluated 596 sessions of VEM in 507 patients. 9% of the 507 patients had 53 adverse events. To break it down, 20 had psychiatric events, specifically postictal psychosis, panic attacks, and interictal psychosis. 15 had injuries, and the injuries in this group ranged from minor injuries to fractures and epidural hematomas. 10 patients had status epilepticus, some with repeated episodes. And finally, one patient had valproic acid-induced encephalopathy. With regards to sudden unexpected death in epilepsy, or SUDEP, very few cases have been reported in the EMU setting. Let's go on to the next slide. Another study by Lee et al. Analyzed the benefits of VEM. Changes in diagnosis were made in approximately 41% of patients in this study. For example, a change in the type of epilepsy syndrome. 40% of patients had their management regimen changed, for example, change in medication. So based on what we just reviewed, we can say the benefits of VEM significantly outweigh the risks, but it's our duty to ensure no harm comes to the patient. This presentation provides general guidelines on how to do this. Let's go on to the next slide. We'll be discussing in this presentation the environment of epilepsy monitoring unit, of the epilepsy monitoring unit, pre-admission screening, seizure provocation techniques, seizure precautions, seizure response protocols and rescue medications, postictal aggression and postictal psychosis, intracranial electrode safety, and discharge practice. Before we go on, I want to emphasize that there is variability in the items I just mentioned. Different centers have different schools of thought with regards to VEM setup and how treatment is provided. This presentation gives a solid foundation from which one can establish safe practice. So let's go on to the next slide. Now let's review what a safe EMU environment would look like. In the patient room, equipment and furniture should be limited as they are potential fall hazards. The amplifier box should be easy to access in the event a quick disconnection is necessary. Objects such as knitting needles, hot liquids, and sharp metal objects should be removed. Limit the patient's off-camera time and use chairs with heavy and high backs so the patient is not in danger of tilting over during a seizure. Let's go on to the next page. Next, let's review the bathroom, which happens to be a high-risk area for falls. Bathroom doors should have an outswing design. What do I mean by this? The door opens towards you and not towards the patient, who may potentially be lying unconscious on the other side of the door. Alternatively, a curtain can be used for privacy instead of a door. Padded sink edges and toilet seats should be used to minimize trauma should the patient fall. Handicap rails should be positioned in such a way that they do not cause injury if the patient falls. Bedside baths or bird baths should be encouraged as opposed to showers, which increase the patient's off-camera time. Let's go on to the next slide. With regards to unit staffing, the National Association of Epilepsy Centers recommends a high patient-nurse ratio relative to a standard ward. The practice of having a centralized monitoring station with all the patients in view by a video monitoring technician is so widespread, I'm willing to label it as a minimum requirement for an epilepsy center. Some centers have 24-hour video observation by a monitoring technician with a sitter at bedside, which is preferable. Other centers have 24-hour video observation by a monitoring technician with a family member at the bedside to alert nurses in the event of a seizure. The patient should have a designated seizure button in addition to the call light, not only to mark the seizures on the EEG, but to sensitize staff members to when the patient is about to have a seizure. Let's go on to the next slide. It's a good idea to do some form of pre-admission screening so that seizure precautions can be customized to the patient. Screening questions asked would include if the patient's seizures are cyclic in nature, so that the EMU admission is timed for when seizures are at their greatest frequency. Seizure frequency and semiology is important to know, so staff members know what to expect. Awareness of the ictal and post-ictal behaviors allows seizure and safety precautions to be customized for the patient. For example, one of our patients here at West LA was known to attempt self-gagging prior to generalized tonic-clonic seizures, so the patient could only eat small meals at a time. Another patient was known to simply get up, snatch electrodes off his head, and walk away. This is why earlier on I emphasized the amplifier box being accessible in case the patient had to be quickly disconnected. Most especially, behaviors that put staff members at risk should be noted and communicated. Let's go on to the next slide. Studies have shown that patients who experience seizures and clusters are at higher risk for status epilepticus, so it is important to determine if the patient experiences seizures and clusters. If the patient smokes, the need for a nicotine patch should be assessed, as this could increase compliance on the patient's part and reduce the potential for missing seizures. During the pre-admission screening, it should also be determined whether any contraindications to VEM exist. Some epilepsy centers consider pregnancy a contraindication. Poor health is a definite contraindication, as exacerbation of pre-existing health conditions should be avoided. For example, one of our patients had an episode of COPD exacerbation, so monitoring had to be discontinued. Finally, after a long period of seizure freedom, VEM is not recommended. Let's go on to the next slide. Consent for VEM is good practice and provides an opportunity for the patient to be informed on what is expected. A standard VEM consent form contains the indications for monitoring, advantages and disadvantages of monitoring, the methods of seizure provocation that are going to be used, restriction of mobility outside the room, use of restraints for safety purposes, patient right to request cessation of monitoring, recording of video and voice consent, telling the patient use of recording for academic and educational research and publication purposes may happen. Let me go back to the issue of restraints. Some centers preemptively have the patient wear a cozy vest with their consent, of course. Other centers choose to utilize restraints only when the patient becomes a danger to themselves or others. So let's go on to the next slide. When it comes to the tapering of anti-epileptic drugs or AEDs for VEM, there are no set rules because tapering techniques vary. The practice of using tapering protocols in epilepsy is not widespread, but studies show it does help to limit the occurrence of status epilepticus. To demonstrate the variability of how AEDs are tapered off, let me give you three examples. In example one, subtherapeutic conventional AEDs would be discontinued first. Recently approved AEDs would be the next set of AEDs to discontinue, and then the remaining AEDs would be tapered off at a rate of one-third of the original maintenance dose over 3 days. In example two, one AED at a time could be tapered. would be no more than half of the AED every 24 hours. In example 3, subtherapeutic AEDs would be stopped first, and then the AED with the shortest half-life would be redrawn next. If the patient were on one AED, then the tapering rate would be no more than one-third to one-fourth of the original dose every 24 hours. With respect to special considerations, which is on the next slide, abrupt withdrawal of certain AEDs is contraindicated. Barbiturates and benzodiazepines fall in this category. When we taper off AEDs, we want to monitor for withdrawal seizures, new onset of seizure clusters, and new onset of generalized tonic-clonic seizures. We want to monitor for side effects of withdrawal, and also want to apply caution with withdrawing prior to admission unless the patient has mild seizures and or has adequate home supervision. Let's go on to the next slide. Another factor to consider when tapering off AEDs is the location of the suspected epileptogenic zone. For example, extratemporal seizures occur quicker using the same tapering techniques described previously. Apply caution if seizures appear as clusters or phase 2 monitoring is in progress. Let's go on to the next slide. Sleep deprivation is a common practice used to provoke seizures during video EEG monitoring. Some epilepsy centers have protocols for sleep deprivation, and if they do, they vary. On a side note, I will add that a study done by Mallow showed that use of sleep deprivation during VEM has little effect on the number of seizures that the patient has. Let's go on to the next slide. So now we're talking about hyperventilation and how it's commonly used to induce seizures during VEM. And the response commonly seen to this technique is the generalized slowing of the EEG. It is important to note that hyperventilation is known to especially trigger seizures stemming from idiopathic generalized epilepsy and some focal epilepsies. Let's go on to the next slide. There are some contraindications to hyperventilation that we need to be aware of, and they include acute stroke, recent intracranial hemorrhage, large vessel stenosis, recent TIA, Moya-Moya disease, severe cardiopulmonary disorders, and sickle cell disease or TRAID. Let's go on to the next slide. And the next slide should be on photic stimulation. So photic stimulation is another seizure-inducing technique. The important thing to remember is that the photic light should be turned up as soon as a photoparoxysmal response is observed, and proceed with caution if facial twitching or upper body jerks are observed initially. Let's go on to the next slide. With regards to cardiac monitoring during VEM, single lead monitoring, which comes with the EEG monitoring software, is adequate. It should be used for two reasons. One, to capture any potential ictal asystole events, and two, when the patient experiences late hypotension during status epilepticus. Even though only 0.27% of patients with epilepsy have been reported to have ictal asystole, it is important to monitor for this phenomenon, as it is suspected to have a role in SUDEP. Let's go on to the next slide. So we should be on seizure precautions now. Standard seizure precautions in the EMU include sidereal uptime 4 with customized padding to encourage compliance, as some seizure pads do not allow the patient to access the bed control panel on the side rails. Low bed height, trips off the ward should be limited, suction with a yak iron tip should be available in addition to nasal cannula oxygen. Let's continue on to the next slide. IV access should be in place prior to tapering off the meds. continuous pulse oximetry is an option. Frequent attention should be paid to whether or not the camera is focused on the patients who tend to move around the room a lot. And always instruct the patient to press the seizure button if an aura is sensed. So let's go on to the slide titled Seizure Response and Rescue Medication. Seizure response is mainly about preparation. When I say preparation, I mean having a physician who is familiar with the patient available in-house, having rescue medications readily available on the unit, and having a protocol for benzodiazepines to treat patients having a seizure before beginning withdrawal of AEDs. Let's go on to the next slide. A solid seizure response protocol would contain written orders customized to reason for monitoring and the type of seizure and the number of seizures that should occur before treatment. For example, give 5 milligrams of diazepam IV push if patient has 3 complex partial seizures within 24 hours. Also, a seizure response protocol would specify the type of seizure and the number of seizures that should occur before calling the physician. It is also important to note that the area of care the EMU is situated in may not be prepared for rapid intubation, so plan accordingly. Let's go on to the next slide, which should be titled Management of Generalized Tonic-Clonic Seizures. For listeners in this presentation who might be unfamiliar with the management of generalized tonic-clonic seizures, listed are the important steps to take. So step 1, maintain patient's airway, position on side to avoid aspiration, loosen gown around patient's neck, protect head and, if applicable, intracranial electrodes from trauma. Remove potentially hazardous objects from immediate environment. Monitor pulse oximetry and provide oxygen to maintain an oxygen saturation greater than 92%. Do not forcefully hold on the patient. Do not attempt to force any object into the patient's mouth. Do not force a suctioning device into the patient's mouth. Wait until the mouth is open and relaxed. Place patient in recovery position once patient is no longer convulsing and is relaxed. We're on step 10 now, which says suction as needed. Reorient patient to environment upon regaining consciousness. Administer oral hygiene as necessary to remove secretions and bleeding. And notify the covering physician as soon as possible. So let's go on to the slide titled Response to Tonic-Clonic Status Epilepticus. During the initial stages of status epilepticus, apply caution in the amount of benzodiazepines administered. As I mentioned earlier, the area of care the EMU is situated in may not be prepared for rapid intubation. It is important to keep in mind that diazepam wards off status epilepticus for a shorter period of time compared to lorazepam. In the established stage of status epilepticus, IV phosphenytoin and valproic acid are the first-line AEDs and are less likely to cause cardiorespiratory depression. IV phenobarbital can cause cardiorespiratory depression, and this might mean a transfer to the ICU, so keep this in mind. Other options for the treatment of status epilepticus include IV levetiracetam, but note its use for status is off-label. Let's go on to the next slide. We should be on postictal aggression now. So postictal aggression is one of those potential adverse events occurring during the EM that could be particularly challenging if one doesn't know how to manage them. Postictal aggression is basically aggression in response to perceived threat or intent to harm in a postictal state on the part of the patient. Some people use the term resistive violence to describe the patient's behavior. One proposed cause of PIA, or postictal aggression, is cerebral exhaustion. The patient's behavior during postictal aggression is brief, undirected, and reactive in nature. postictal aggression tends to occur shortly after one or more seizures or after a cluster of seizures. Let's go on to the next slide, which discusses the management of postictal aggression. The aggression tends to resolve itself quickly. One should limit patient contact and intervene only if the patient or another individual is at risk for physical harm. And finally, try not to restrain the patient, as this causes the patient to become more aggressive. Let's go on to the next slide, which should be on postictal psychosis. Now, on the other hand, postictal psychosis is psychosis commonly associated with patients diagnosed with intractable epilepsy. The onset of this type of psychosis is less than a week postictally. The patient may appear clear-headed, but may experience irritability, mood lability, and insomnia. The psychosis period can be as short as 15 hours or as long as 2 months. Delirium, paranoid delusions, auditory and visual hallucinations are the symptoms commonly observed. And like postictal aggression, it tends to occur shortly after one or more seizures or after a cluster of seizures. Let's go on to the next slide, which should discuss the management of postictal psychosis. As for management, postictal psychosis is self-limiting. The psychosis should be treated with tranquilizers and sedatives if the psychosis gets progressively worse, and benzodiazepines are the drug of choice for delirium. If necessary, neuroleptics can be used. And finally, it is important to balance patient safety and the need for data. Let's go to the next slide, which discusses intracranial electrode safety. Patients with intracranial electrodes are at a higher risk for injury than patients who come in for routine VEM, or video EEG monitoring. If policy allows, and if the patient consents, restraints should be applied. An alternative is to have a one-to-one sitter at bedside within arm's reach. This would be preferable. Ambulate with the patient with assistance at all times. Secure extra wiring to avoid falls. Monitor for signs of infection. And perform frequent neurological checks. Let's go on to the next slide, which discusses the safe discharge of the patient. So in regard to the safe discharge, if the patient has had a seizure within 24 hours before discharge, consider the benzodiazepines such as Diastat for breakthrough seizures until all AEDs are therapeutic. You want to review with the patient and the family a summary of the findings during the VEM stay or the video EEG monitoring stay. Educate the patient and family on the seizures. Update the family and patient on any medication changes and give them an up-titration plan. Also, educate them on the symptoms of postictal psychosis and direct them to the ER if that were to happen. Also, let them know about their follow-up appointments so there is continuity of care. Hopefully, this was educational for all of you, and thank you very much.
I'm going to get the lines opened up. All right, line should be open. Is there any questions?
I have a question from Saginaw.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, this is Gail LeClaire. I'm with People with Disabilities, mm-hmm. and I wanted to get some information in our neurology clinic, and talking with all the nurses and everybody here, they said, you know, we can't have anything that supports a medicine, a company. Do you know if there's some place that, besides that Crane, which is very old information, that I can get something for my patients?
Well, what information are you specifically looking for?
Well, just like general first aid for the family, you know, types of seizures, that kind of thing I was looking for.
Ah, I see. Now, our Epilepsy Center of Excellence does have an affiliation with the Epilepsy Foundation.
You do?
That's a good start, yes.
Okay, because I know they have a lot of great information there, but I would probably have to get permission from somebody, you know, to do that. I'm not really sure who, but I can find out.
Now, where is your facility?
In Saginaw, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
We're not an EOC.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I wanted to get just some general information up there for the family members and for the patients.
A second thing I could also do is look into what information is there and send the San Francisco VA and see what information they have also. Because
okay.
That's our sister ECOE. So, yeah, I will look into that for you.
You will. Okay. And then I'll get with the nurse here that does all the education stuff. And that I would very much appreciate. But that was very interesting. And I had my daughter at a Epilepsy Center of Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too long ago, probably about 6 years ago at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit. So it sounds like VA is right online.
Okay. Very good. Now, please fill out the evaluation form so that we can kind of get in touch with you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Right,
I will.
No problem.
Okay.
Is there any more questions? Well, I don't think there's any more questions.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. I wonder how many participants they had.
We'll find out after 30,
yeah.
After it's over.
Okay, I was just curious, because I went to my director, and she's like, yeah, go ahead, Gail, if you want to get some information. And it's just something I wanted to do for a long time here, was get that kind of information. All right, well, have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Gail. Appreciate it.
Thank you for everybody for joining our call today.
Thank you all.
Thank you. I had a quick question.
Oh, yes. Go for it.
Where can I find the evaluation form or the post?
You can find the evaluation form on the epilepsy website,
uh-huh.
On the VA epilepsy website. They have it posted there. Plus, you can find it in the EEF catalog. If you can't find it for some reason, you can go ahead and send me an email at sean.gamble@va.gov, and I can send you one.
Thank you. I shouldn't have any trouble. Thank you.
So how do we get the form to fill out for continuing education credits?
Well, once you take the survey, it's going to go ahead and give you, once you submit it, at the end it's going to say print certificate. You now print them yourself. We don't send them out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I should... I'm at the, how do I get the survey sheet now?
Are you VA?
No.
Okay, go to www.epilepsy.va.gov.
Uh-huh.
And under announcements, you'll see there's going to be a hard copy one on there.
Oh, okay.
That you can just print out, and then you send it in.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions? All right, thank you everybody for joining us today.
Thank you everyone. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.